Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. Breaking White Sox news.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Anthony Herron.
All we got to do is do our job and punch him in the mouth every single play.
Bears Monday with Big Ant.
You just want to get into your Chicago bag, start trying to apply a Chicago accent here or there. It's not something I do very well.
Sirius XM and Fox 32 football analyst.
And the bad guys get stopped at the entrance, and he tells him nobody leaves his place without singing the blues.
Anthony Herron and Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Welcome back, everybody. Hub Arkish in for Lawrence Holmes today with you until 2 o'clock when I will hand it off for the afternoon show. Actually, I now have to check because I know there's a schedule change there. I think it's Speegs and Bernsey. But I'll confirm that one for you in a while. Lawrence is out this week. Various folks getting to sit in for him. I am in today. Lawrence will be back next Monday. But one thing we will not change is the regular 1 o'clock Monday appearance of my buddy Anthony Herron. And Anthony, normally when the Bears win, it's a victory Monday here at 670 The Score. This is Victory Monday that took place on Friday, now being rerun again on Monday and interrupted by breaking news all over the place. So we're going to get to the NFL stuff in 1 second, but I know you're a local guy. I guess we got to start, or at least don't have to, but I'd like to start with any thoughts that you have about Ricky Renteria, you know, being out with the White Sox and, you know, what it means to Sox fans.
I mean, I think there can still be and perhaps should be excitement about the news that the White Sox have determined that they're going to try and, I guess, improve the managerial position, enhance what they're doing there. While it could have been predicted, while a lot of folks in some ways, I was talking about with Danny when I was on with Parkins throughout the week last week, where, you know, perhaps you could make a case where you could see this coming. That being said, though, I think from Ricky Renteria's perspective, from the direction of the organization itself, I don't think the fact that you know, things seemed worthy of perusal about the lineup in a lot of games throughout the season, or the fact that he didn't manage things with the pitching staff in the way that a lot of us may have agreed with throughout the postseason, that just feels like a really common sort of version of angst that I think baseball fans tend to have with their squad anyway. So just through the lens of, what did Rick Renteria not do? Not necessarily what did he do, because I think what he did was manage a rebuild with the results, with the desired results, about as well as I think Cubs or Sox brass could really hope for in getting things to the point they got to. And season by season, and especially as talent has begun to be accumulated on the South side the last couple of years, they begun to win. And the level of winning they did this season, you could certainly make an argument, was a year in advance. They wanted a higher level this year than I think a lot of folks would have anticipated with a week to go. Looked like they were going to be the one seed in the AL. And yes, things fell off a bit of a cliff through there. They certainly performed better in the postseason than the Cubs did on the north side. And so I think if Rick Renteria were still the manager going into next season, Sox fans would be excited, should be excited, and I don't think there's been results on the field that would necessarily indicate that people shouldn't anticipate the Sox would have been the favorite in the division, one of the favorites in the AL to win the pennant. So I think, and you know, I've heard from a couple folks who know Ricky Renteria pretty well here since I was tweeting about some things earlier. And, you know, if they're going to go the Ivy League direction, or if they want, you know, more of the Nouveau Riche version of things, that could make perfect sense. But I just think as far as what the results legitimately are, and you know it well, Hub, you think of in the year before the Cubs won the World Series as Joe Maddon took over, and during the World Series run, even Joe Maddon, who ended the curse, he was not devoid of all the criticism and all the slings and arrows that come with folks questioning the pitch-by-pitch managerial stylings of certain individuals who run their baseball club. So I don't really look at it and say that Ricky Renteria did anything that to me sort necessarily meant the Sox should move on, but they're within their rights to do so, and hopefully they'll even find a way to upgrade. But I don't have any reason to think the Sox weren't going to be great again next season with Rick Renteria managing the squad. I mean, for everything the club asked him to do, he did it really well, and they continued to win and ascend while he was the manager. So, you know, it's unfortunate for him that this has now happened to him on both sides of the city, where he hasn't had a legitimate winning roster assembled and been given to him and gotten a chance to do that for a full season. That still hasn't happened for Rick Renteria.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting, Anthony. I don't know how it's working this year because everything is so different with the pandemic. But under normal circumstances, all the postseason award voting would have been done before the announcement today. And Ricky Renteria is going to get some Manager of the Year votes now. You know, I don't think he's going to win it. I'm guessing that's going to Tampa, but we'll see. But it's just it's strange the way that the baseball gods and the sports gods work. So, guys, we will get back to this story for you. We'll get back to the phones in a little while if you want to comment, have questions about the White Sox situation. But there is other sports news all over the place. And Anthony, we actually haven't gotten to talk since Thursday night. So before I even talk about the more current news with the Chicago Bears, would love to get your take on what happened Thursday night, because from where I sat, that was the best game they've played so far. It may have been the worst offensive performance they've had so far. They made enough offensive plays when they had to. And then something I never expected, but we woke up to I'm mad as hell and not going to take it anymore, Matt Nagy on Friday morning. So just kind of your overall thoughts about where the Bears are at 4-1 as they begin the week with the second best record in the NFC and you know, getting ready to move on to Carolina.
I was really intrigued by the tone that Matt Nagy took. And, you know, like everyone has their own lens that they can judge coaching style, teaching style, leadership style by, as different individuals just handle things in their own manner. But, you know, I'm of the ilk where I vibe with the way Matt Nagy leads, where he's not one of these guys who's sort of constantly beating you over the head with everything he thinks you were doing wrong or doing right. He's not a guy of an immense volume on a consistent basis on the practice field berating guys. And it doesn't mean that can't have some success, or even if you're not necessarily loud about it, that just being sort of brooding in a Belichickian kind of style, you know, can have some effectiveness. Also, Matt Nagy's leadership style vibes with me. He's the type of guy that I like running things. That being said, to see him go to a public approach and to be willing to immediately voice a public sentiment about essentially being fed up with his offense not being refined in the details, you can make a case that perhaps it's even almost past time to do that. And I wonder, last season, while he was still trying to strike the balance of feeling like he needed to continue development of his quarterback in Mitch Trubisky, while also trying to make sure that the system perhaps suited what he had available to him, which I think I've told you before, I didn't necessarily think he did as effectively last year in having the system, calling the system in a way that I think necessarily suited the personnel he was working with. But that being said, this year, I think it's not a stretch to look at it and say, now that Nick Foles is in the lineup at quarterback, and he doesn't necessarily feel like it needs to be about whether or not I feel the quarterback can be detailed in this system. If I'm Matt Nagy and I feel like the quarterback has the details of this offense down in the manner that I think we can do this how I want to do this, then everybody else has to get on board. Everybody else has to be on their spot and on their mark and running routes like it needs to be. And yes, QB, you need to take your depth and your drop in the way that it needs to be as well. Even Nick Foles, if you're more comfortable in shotgun and I'm putting you under center because it helps our play action game and it helps our run scheme and make things less predictable with the way we can throw the ball downtown, all those things. And yes, Nick Foles, your ball mechanics in the backfield, the way you're taking your drop, all those things need to be detailed as well. But receivers, and I'm looking at you, Anthony Miller, you know, you're the guys who need to be better in this realm also. So I think you could almost make the case maybe it's past due, but for him coming out like that the other day, I certainly think it's fitting for where things are at right now. And the discussion of a window with this defense that can continue to play at a high level for now, but who knows how much longer now will exist with Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks and Kyle Fuller and some of the guys who have greatness within them as individual talents, and then also being surrounded by a Danny Trevathan, who I think continues to play at a higher and higher level, and maybe Robert Quinn will come on and approach the level we all hope for. It's a defense with championship potential, even though they're not quite playing at that level yet. And the offense has got to do more, and they need more from it. And him being willing to address that publicly after basically 3 years of not necessarily doing that, kind of lambasting them in public, I'm cool with it. I think it makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, I'm particularly glad to hear you mention Danny Trevathan, because he unfortunately had that spotlight moment early where he missed a play on Ronald Jones on a 37-yard run that he would almost always make, but in fact came on in the second half and played better football and was their leading tackler. So it's the difference between really looking at the tape and what's going on here and focusing on just one play. But getting back to my initial question, Anthony, it was interesting because I'm with you. I was fascinated by the way Nagy came out firing Friday morning and thought, yeah, this is good. But then talking to him this morning, I'm not going to say he was backtracking, but he was softening it a little bit. And I think it's probably because they got thrown a curve they weren't expecting when the young man, and forgive me because I want to get his name right, and it's not an easy one. Badara Traore is the young man on the practice squad who tested positive. Matt told us this morning he's a great kid, that he has no idea how he got it or how it happened. It does happen to people. But I think that positive test popping up somewhere Friday night or Saturday forced Matt to take a step back and take a little different tone now, because that's got to be the main focus. And so what he had to say this morning wasn't different. He said, we still have to fix this. But he's now going out of his way to point out that he loves these guys' effort, that everybody's doing everything they can. And so I don't think he's going to come on and be a hard-ass coach. But I think, as you're pointing out, it is time to get a little more. It's almost, there is an analogy to the White Sox here. Okay, our window's open now, and our window's been open a little longer, and it's going to start to close if we don't get serious about this right now. Yeah. And that's kind of what I took from the way he reacted Friday.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment of why he – and it's not like Matt Nagy's never criticized someone publicly. It's mainly been Anthony Miller as far as someone he's been willing to sort of call out in public for not doing things precisely how they would like. But this was broader. This was more the offense in general. And I think, you know, he seems to have the personality of this Bears squad. Matt Nagy certainly has a great handle on the tone of the team. And I think that – because the personalities of the guys who Ryan Pace has brought in here, who Matt Nagy is coaching right now, I don't think they're necessarily worried about the locker room splintering. And I feel like Matt Nagy, just with the way that he seems to pay very close attention to the tone, to the mood of his squad and of individual players within it, that seems to be very important to him, probably at an enhanced level over what a lot of other NFL coaches would kind of value how important that is. I think he probably even sees calling the offense out publicly. He probably feels safe to do that because I think he trusts the leadership, the temperament, the way that the leaders on his team will react to that. So where an Akeem Hicks could be a guy because of the level he plays at consistently, and, you know, between he or Khalil Mack or guys who, you know, whatever their peak, their prime window could be here. We've certainly seen examples over the years where defensive guys whose offense just isn't doing much to help them win games, where somebody might come out publicly and say that. And my impression is that Matt Nagy feels he can trust the defenders on this squad to not necessarily take out the kerosene and start to try to light something ablaze and have the locker room appear fractured over it. And so I think that while he may not have thought about it in that level of detail before waking up kind of tired Friday morning and addressing the media about it. But I do think just if nothing else, subconsciously, intrinsically, somewhere in that, he feels comfortable going public with some enhanced offensive, you know, concerns, requirements, you know, calling guys out, challenging the offense to get more detailed and to improve in the way that they need to. It's one thing for all of us to look at it and for him to address it in sort of microscopic ways, but for him to say it in the way that he did, I think that is him also, in addition to demanding more of the offense, it's also trusting that the locker room and the public way that he did it will not fracture because of it.
Well, and I know I got to let you bounce in a minute, Anthony, but there's another piece of it, I think, too, which is, and Matt's been very honest about this, it's great to be 4-1. Now, he hasn't acknowledged that they don't deserve to be 4-1, but he knows it, you know, and he's kind of talked around it. You know, actually, you are what your record says. It's not that they don't deserve to be 4-1, it's that they've gotten a ton of breaks.
Could very easily be a different record.
I want to kind of make sure I put that fairly. But where I'm going here is that he also knows that after going to the surprising 3-2 Carolina Panthers on Sunday, who even at 3-2 are a team the Bears should beat, then you get into the one heavy meat part of the schedule where you get the Rams, the Saints, and the Titans. And I think he knows that if they don't, I mean, if you've gotten away with it to this point, you're not getting away with it over the next 4 weeks if we don't change something right now.
And for the Bears offense, there's potential there. And I think that the frustration probably looking at the film is feeling like, man, if we ran the route at the proper depth here, then you know what? We're looking at a chunk play. Or, you know what, if we throw it over this shoulder of Darnell Mooney as opposed to the other shoulder, we're looking at a touchdown. Like, there's things where, and kind of every team basically, you know, Hub, kind of has that when they look at a film where folks at home might see a scoreboard and think, oh, well, this team played horrible and that team played great and one is much better than the other. But when the folks go back and watch the film, to one of the points you even referenced earlier about Danny Trevathan, it quite frequently is splitting hairs between what success and failure is in the NFL and how games are decided in these sort of micro moments. And for the Bears, there have been some big plays available. Mitch missed some big plays in the passing game. Nick Foles has missed some big plays in the passing game. The run game, which was outstanding through the first couple of weeks of this season, is not that anymore. And then you add losing James Daniels into that mix, but you know you still trust the talents of David Montgomery in the backfield, and the scheme that they've put in place seems to have the potential to continue to benefit this outfit up front, especially once you get past two of the best front sevens in football, to be able to get back to running it, thus setting up your play action. Those are all things that the Bears must feel like. You know, Matt Nagy feels like they're very close to being able to execute at a higher level, and when they do, if they do, but through his mind, when they do, then they're going to look like a much better team, regardless of the record, than they even do right now, sitting at 4-1.
Anthony, as always, appreciate the time, buddy. You got any more hosting duties this week or just your regular hits?
I will be on in Lawrence's stead on Wednesday. I'll be doing that. And also, since you asked, on a personal note, I've been excited and waiting to say it. The Big Ten Network actually announced today that I'll be returning there. Some news I've been waiting to share. I'm very excited to put that out. So once the college football season from a Big Ten perspective is back upon us, I'll have my first studio date. I'll do a studio show on BTN every Monday, starting next Monday, the 19th. And then also I'll start calling games for them on the weekend as well. So excited about that, man, on the college football end of things, being back with BTN.
I am happy for you, man. You know, I've got some of my sideline stuff with Westwood going for later in the season. And there's a side of me that says, am I ready to go out there and face the the real world?
Yeah.
But I do miss it, and I'm looking forward to getting back to it. Probably on Thanksgiving Day will be mine first one. So good for you. I'm happy for you. And I will look forward to visiting with you again right here real soon.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks, Hub.
That is our very own Anthony Heron. We're going to take a quick commercial break here. When we get back, your phone calls, your texts at 312-644-6767. It's a breaking news kind of day if you want to talk about the White Sox managerial opening now that Rick Hahn has fired Rick Renteria and pitching coach Don Cooper. We're all over it here at The Score. Some interesting news, according to Casey Johnson of NBC Sports Chicago, Billy Donovan, the new Chicago Bulls head coach, has informed his coaching staff, I don't know about all of them, but most of them will not be back Talked with Matt Nagy this morning about next steps for his Bears as he has gone public with his dissatisfaction with his offense and what needs to happen to make it better. This is the best sports station in town. You know that. That's why it's the most listened to sports station in town. We've got it all for you right here in just a moment at 6-7.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to two on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
That won't necessarily be the case because some of these coaches may well return. And we do have some pretty good pitching coach candidates inside the organization. So it might ultimately be a promotion with the new pitching coach. Could still come from outside, but I just wanted to make the point that when I reference the opportunity to sort of hear from outside voices and hear of a way to get a little bit more of a objective, perhaps, or non-insular view of where we're at as an organization and about how we do things, the manager interview process is a great opportunity to do that. That may well extend to the pitching coach interview process. I suspect it will, but it's not like that the managerial decision forced us to need to have an opening on the pitching side.
Chicago White Sox general manager Rick Hahn digging a little deeper on all that is going into the decisions already made and decisions about to be made at the top of his ball club. They have moved on today from Ricky Renteria as the manager. He will not be back. Don Cooper will not be back as the pitching coach. That was Hahn talking more about the pitching coach decision. I have to believe that they'll put a manager in place before they would decide on a pitching coach, although as we've seen with organizations throughout Major League Baseball, specifically right here on the north side with the Cubs, you got the front office making more coaching decisions than the managers these days. So that is not uncommon. Guys, it's got the entire baseball community, particularly here in Chicago, shook up. You've got Renteria out. Who will be in? We're getting all kinds of suggestions here on the Hyundai Techstone, brought to you by Hyundai of Algonquin. You can save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And guys, stop doing this. I sounded like an idiot last hour because I read what about Girardi and I forgot Girardi was managing the Phillies. I now have 17 more texts who want Joe Girardi to manage the White Sox. I don't know if that's just having fun with me or if you guys aren't paying attention either. Somebody wants Tony La Russa. Pretty sure that's not going to happen, nor was it a good idea. Rick Hahn has already been clear that Ozzie Guillen will not be considered. In spite of what some people want. I've got some Carlos Beltran Love out here. That does not fit what Rick Renteria has described. He has said that they're going to be looking for somebody with recent championship experience. Now, he did not say a manager of a recent championship team, but he did say recent championship experience, which would point towards a Cora, you know, or a Hinch or somebody like that. Alex Cora, you know, and AJ Hinch, of course, if you're willing to deal with the baggage they will bring with from the cheating scandal. It's also why people are focusing on guys like Sandy Alomar. I don't know where La Russa comes from or why Carlos Beltran would be a good idea. But and I get where this texter is coming from, because teams, again, like the Cubs on the north side, have hired guys with no experience on the bench whatsoever, like David Ross. It's popular around baseball right now. It has worked for other teams. But Rick Hahn has said in his comments today that's not, at least right now, what he is looking at. So let's get back to the phones and your thoughts. And again, just had a really nice visit with Anthony Heron, of course, like myself, one of our NFL experts here on the Score. The Bears have been making news this weekend as well. Not the kind of news they'd like to, with a positive COVID test, their first of the season. It does not appear at this point to be altering anything in the regular schedule. They had a little mini bye to begin with. And so they've moved some things around, but for now, Badare Traore, a practice squad offensive tackle, tested positive either Friday or Saturday. They've had all negative tests from everybody else since, so no major concern about the Bears and COVID right now, but it is a story that we're watching. And again, whatever you want to talk about, the phone lines are yours. Right now, we are going to bring in Rich on the north side. Hello, Rich.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Hey, I have a comment about the coach and the catcher.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted your opinion on that. And I think Renteria, in my mind, has always been an interim coach. Nothing against him, nothing against what he has done. But he was put in place because a lot of those players are Latin, and he spoke the language. And it made sense. And he fit in that term. But I want a bona fide coach, and there's someone in the waiting named A.J. Hinch, who's a proven winner. I'd like to see him at least get a call and an interview. And then on the catching situation, McCann is a starting catcher in my mind, but if the White Sox can keep the two rotations with Grandal and McCann, that would be great, because McCann has chemistry with most of the starting pitchers, and he's solid. I'd like to see them offer him a contract.
Rich, I thank you for the phone call. You know, listen, the idea that Ricky Renteria was here because he speaks Spanish or is bilingual or is good with young Latin players, I actually kind of find a little offensive. And I know that, you know, where we're going with this, but there's all kinds of Spanish-speaking managers out there, and what does that do for Tim Anderson or Michael Kopech or and you know, Luis Giolito? You know where I'm going here. I mean, it's not, you know, I don't want to step in something here and have the wrong conversation, but what you need is the best baseball manager for your talent, and yes, there is certainly an advantage to being bilingual. But the idea that the Sox can only consider, you know, Latin or Hispanic managers, and I know you mentioned A.J. Hinch, who is not, and by the way, if Renteria was a good idea because he was bilingual, is A.J. Hinch? I don't know. You know, I don't know that to be the case. But I think the idea that he was always an interim is just, it's probably not right. I mean, you know, you don't last 4 years as an interim guy. He got his chance. They decided that he wasn't going to take him to the next level, and that's why they're moving on. As far as the catching, listen, I think that there probably isn't a team in Major League Baseball that wouldn't like to have as much talent behind the plate as both James McCann and Yasmani Grandal, but there are two schools of thought amongst White Sox fans. One is that it was too much and it didn't allow enough at-bats or playing time for either one. And then others believe that you know, Grandal wasn't used properly, that he could have caught occasionally and spent more time as a designated hitter. Of course, then I don't know what you do with that one in Encarnacion. And, you know, what did you bring him in for? You know, and again, we're hearing that they wanted to get more right-handed or left-handed. So, you know, that's roster makeup. That's not something that the manager, you know, gets fired for. So we understand why they made the move. I think the overwhelming majority believes it's the right move at the right time. But I'm not going to fault Ricky Renteria for the wrong things. This segment on The Score is brought to you by Burlington Stores. Have you been to Burlington? They've got incredible deals and amazing styles at up to 60% off other retailers' prices, and no coupons are needed. It's your one-stop shop for fall. Go to burlington.com to find your store. Burlington, love the deals. And we're going to jump right back to the phones. And let me see who's up next here. I believe it is Dave out in Naperville. Dave, how you doing?
Hey, just a couple comments on the. So I'm a diehard Sox fan, and I was ecstatic about hearing the news about Renteria because I think it's 1 year too late. I think they should have done it last year and hired Girardi. However, you know, I think Ricky Renteria is just a little. He was a little bit over his skis, and it showed in the playoffs. I think that. I would love to see Alex Cora come in, or Hinch, or even Alomar. I think those three would be top line if I was the GM. But I wanted to ask you your opinion because in watching the Bears, the defense is good, but does any defensive back on that team know how to actually tackle other than putting a shoulder into somebody?
Dave, thank you for the phone call. I'm not even sure how to respond to that question. I mean, Kyle Fuller made what may prove to be the biggest play of the season by putting his shoulder into Keyshawn Johnson with a minute 42 left to play in the first half Thursday night. Of the various problems that the Chicago Bears are facing right now, the tackling technique of the secondary isn't on the list. I mean, there's been some sloppy tackling on defense. There's no question about that. But I just don't support your theory on the question. And so I guess that means that my answer is, yeah, there's plenty of guys in the Bears secondary who know how to tackle properly. There's different techniques for different times. You know, the safest thing is to put your shoulder into a guy's thigh pads because it's the only thing you know you're not going to get called roughing on. So there has been some sloppy tackling, right? There's no question about that, Dave, and I understand it, but it's not on the secondary. And what Kyle Fuller did by using his shoulder was textbook with today's NFL rules and still being able to make the monster hit and get the ball out. So that's pretty much the last thing I would criticize the Chicago Bears for right now. We're going to take a very quick commercial break here. When we get back, a few more of your phone calls, 312-644-6767. And we've got the afternoon guys coming up soon. In a few minutes, we'll do some transition with Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel. It's all right ahead at 670 The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Welcome back to the Lawrence Holmes Show, everybody, and thank you so much for being with me today. I am Hub Arker, sitting in for the vacationing Lawrence Holmes. Lawrence will be out this week, but back next Monday. The only way this works is with Lawrence's executive producer, Herb Lawrence, behind the glass. And Herb, what an incredible job you have done today, breaking news all over the place, juggling the sound as it comes in, getting everybody lined up on the phones, keeping up with the text line. Herb is absolutely one of the best in the business, guys, and it's such a pleasure to get to work with him. Again, our phone number, 312-644-6767. Got time for one or two more phone calls here before we transition with Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel, who will keep you all over the news of the day for the rest of the afternoon. Actually, Danny in for half a shift today, and then Bernsey will be back. So lots of voices covering the White Sox news, the Bears news, the Bulls news. Right now we go to Rick out in Roselle to hear what he has on his mind. Rick, how you doing?
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I've been a Bears fan for a long time, and the way I see the Bears right now is they're three players away from being a really good team. I think, number one, they need a nose tackle really bad. I also think they need two offensive linemen, seasoned veterans, because I think Montgomery's a great running back. He gets no holes. And I actually feel very strongly about Nick Foles, that he could be a better-than-average quarterback if he had some time to throw. I think a lot of the comments about receivers and routes are a little bit misguided with the lack of an offensive line. So that's why I think they could be a solid 4-1 team if they had those positions.
Thank you for the call, Rick. Listen, they're not going to do anything at nose tackle. Eddie Goldman is the future. He's got a big contract. You have to assume he will be back next year. He cannot come back this year. I think people have misread those rules, thinking that there is an opt-in option. There is not. But with Snacks Harrison out there and the Bears not making a great effort to keep him out of Seattle, you know, if they see a promising youngster on the street, they might bring him in. But they're not going to make a significant move at nose tackle. And really, unless it was going to be somebody with game-changing ability, which we don't know if Snacks Harrison still has, I don't know that they should. I hear what you're saying about the offensive line. They definitely need an upgrade in talent there. But again, I don't know that it's two veterans. You know, you're not going to find those guys on the street now. And if you're talking about fixing it for next year, you got to invest in that offensive line. And if you want a real left tackle, you usually have to do it in the first round. That's been the history of the position. The Bears do need to get more at the nose tackle position this year. That's likely going to have to come from what they already have on the roster. The offensive line, there's not much you can do right now. You can give Jason Spriggs a chance to push, you know, Charles Leno at left tackle if you want. I don't think Bobby Massey is that bad. I think that he is actually a little underrated. He's not great, but he gets the job done. Rashad Coward is a right tackle strictly for them at this point. I don't think there's any immediate changes coming, but I do agree that one of the reasons they've struggled on each side of the ball are the position weaknesses that you talked about. Got one more call before we break, and anxious to get to visit with Danny and Spiegs a little bit about where they're going this afternoon and their thoughts on the breaking news here in town. We'll do that in a couple minutes. But first, John is on the north side. John, what's on your mind today?
Hey, man. So I want to preface this by saying that I am a diehard Cubs fan, but I'm by no stretch a White Sox hater. Mm-hmm. So do you think Rick Renteria kind of sealed his own fate with the way things went after they clinched the division? Because they did noticeably play worse after that. And I, before the news was announced today, I thought it was really unbecoming of him as a coach to be getting kicked out of games the final week down the season when they were in a tailspin. So do you think better managing in that short period of time could have potentially saved his job? I'm going to hang up and hear your response. Thanks, man.
You know, John, my answer is a simple yes, and I'm going to get to baseball experts like Matt Spiegel in a few minutes to hear what he thinks, because he's followed it more closely than I have. But then if you listen to Rick Hahn's comments today, he went out of his way to suggest that that was not the case at all. And it was the two things, and I'm a Rick Hahn fan. I have been since he started this rebuild 3 years ago or 4 years ago, whichever, you know, date you want to put on it. I think he's done an outstanding job from where they were getting them here this quickly, considering the assets he had to work with when he started. Obviously, they'd like the Tatis trade back, but what are you going to do? You know, you don't get them all right. The fact that he has succeeded so tremendously in spite of losing that asset is really impressive. But the two things I didn't understand today is why he kept saying that these moves were by mutual agreement. They clearly weren't. I mean, you know, Rick Renteria and Don Cooper did not say, I want to be gone. They were fired. I'm sure there's reasons for that. They may be contractual. And then, the other piece was he said that these have been conversations going on for over a month now, that they were in no way focused on the final week in the playoffs. And so, again, he's trying to spin a narrative, and I get it, but I'm not sure why he feels it's important to spin that narrative. Maybe he's just trying to say the nicest things he can about Rick Renteria, you know, to leave him in a better position going forward. That's the only explanation I can really come up with there, because it's obviously not true. Yes, I mean, what happened last week and in the playoffs had a ton to do with it. They may have been thinking it anyway from things that they had seen in season, but you just can't spin it and suggest that that didn't have a big impact. If they were in any way on the fence, that clearly is what put them over the other side. Guys, I got to take a very quick break here. And then, as I said, I don't want them to take this wrong, because I know Danny and Matt are with me already. I may know a little more football than they do, but I'm not in their league when it comes to the White Sox and Major League Baseball. So they're going to take you home this afternoon and get you up to speed on where you need to be. We'll talk to them in just a moment right here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.